today on Path of Grace.
He's saying, we are the people of God. We are the set apart. We are the ones cut out of the religious world and the religious mindset and its way of thinking that diminishes Christ, who by the Spirit are now serving God, not serving religion, not serving a ritual, not serving an organization, not serving a religious group, but instead serving God and glorying in Christ Jesus. Not glorying in our group, not glorying in our religious affiliation, not glorying in the efforts of our flesh, not glorying in religious observances, not glorying in what we've added into our lives or cut off or cut out. He says, nope, we have zero trust in our flesh. We have zero trust in anything we bring to the table. We have zero trust in our own abilities. We have zero trust in what we add in or what we take out. We have zero trust in adding in religious feasts and festivals and observances, that sort of thing. We have zero trust in what we cut out, whether it's a foreskin or things we don't touch, handle, or taste. Our trust is in Christ Jesus, Christ the Savior, Christ the Redeemer, Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who died on a cross and rose from the dead, the one who became our sin, that we would become the righteousness of God in Him. My friend, Paul is wanting us to know it's all about Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 1, Paul has encouraged his readers, you and me, to rejoice in the Lord, to celebrate the Lord, to celebrate what we have in the Lord, to give thanks and praise to the Lord, to make our focus, the focal point, the Lord. And we talked about that in our last study of Philippians. Then, in verse 2, which we come to today, on the surface, it seems Paul is taking a wild leap in another direction, but in reality, it completely ties in with rejoicing in the Lord. Here's how verse 2 is worded in Young's literal translation. Look to the dogs, look to the evil workers, look to the concision. What? Look to the dogs, look to the evil workers? Huh? What is this talking about? Well, let me read the same verse in the concordant literal New Testament. Beware of curs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the maimed scission. This looking that we read about in Young's literal is connected to being wary. Beware. If you see a sign that says, beware of dog, that lets you know that you need to keep your eyes open. You need to watch out because there might be a dog nearby, say beyond that fence that you're standing next to, that could take a chunk out of your backside. If you see a beware of dog sign on a gate, if you're smart, you aren't going to open up that gate and go prancing through that yard because more than likely, it will lead you to a world of hurt, agony, pain, and possibly some scars, all of which would have been avoided had you heeded the warning to beware of the dog. Now, it should be obvious to us reading Philippians and Paul's other letters that he isn't speaking about literal four-footed hairy animals with large canine teeth. He is talking about people that we need to beware of, people who bring particular things into our lives that could inflict great pain and scarring if we aren't careful, if we aren't on guard. In this verse, Paul calls them evil workers. Now, in most religious settings, when we hear someone refer to evil works or evil workers, impurity, things of that nature, all sorts of images might enter into our minds, but they probably aren't at all what Paul is talking about here. Look at the next phrase. Beware of the maimed scission. Young's literal uses the word concision. Other translations use the word mutilation. Let's put this all together. Beware of the dogs. Dogs bite. They inflict pain. They create scars. Watch out for the dogs. Which dogs? Evil working dogs. What kind of evil works are you talking about, Paul? And he says, the evil of the mutilation. The evil of religiousness. See, the mutilation here is referring to circumcision, and we know that because of what we find in the following verses. But right now, we find ourselves smack dab in the midst of a common topic in Paul's writings as he deals with people who would come along and try to place non-Jews, people like me, a Gentile, under the law of Moses. People who would come along and take things that God had specifically given to the Israelites, to the Jews, and say, you know what, Gentile, this applies to you. If you really want to be holy, if you really want to please God, then this is what you really need to do. You need to begin living like a Jew. You need to begin to live under the law of Moses. And one of the most basic elements of that, an identifier of the Jewish people under the law, was that good Jewish males need to be circumcised. They would come along and say, if you really want God to be happy with you, listen, what Christ has done on your behalf isn't really enough to make God super happy with you. If you really want to be accepted by God, if you really want to have hope of being rescued from the grave, it's based upon you, what you do. It's based upon your obedience and your faithfulness to the law of Moses. So drop your drawers. We're going to snip some skin off the end of your penis. Then you'll be in good standing with God. Wow. Now here's the thing. As you look at Paul's writings as a whole, you find that it's not just about circumcision. Take any religious act, any action, anything you do or I do, anything we don't do, as we place our hope in that thing we're not doing or what we are doing, and we start to develop the attitude of, I know God will accept me because I do this and I do that and I don't do that, and I added this into my life and I cut this off of my life. At that point, it seems Paul is warning us of the danger of slipping into a religious mode of thinking where our hope, our confidence, our rejoicing, what we're pointing people to, is no longer the Lord Christ Jesus. Instead, we're pointing people to what we're doing, what we're not doing, our religious observances, or what we've cut out, or what we've cut off. And in this instance, as crude as it may sound to our ears today, Paul is saying, listen, when that starts happening in your life, your hope is no longer in Christ. Your hope is in the lack of foreskin on your penis. Wow. So at that point, when that happens, you're no longer rejoicing in the Lord. You're rejoicing in what was lopped off, what was cut off, what you had done to you or what someone else did to you, what you're doing or not doing. Suddenly, salvation and right standing with God is no longer seen as resting upon the work of Christ Jesus on our behalf. It's no longer about Him redeeming, Him justifying. It's not about Him becoming our sin and you and me becoming the righteousness of God in Him. It's no longer about grace. Instead, it's about a religious thing. As our confidence is no longer in Christ and His work, but us and our work, as our confidence is taken away from Christ and our confidence is placed in our own flesh, what we do or don't do, what we add in or what we cut off. In verse 1, Paul didn't tell us to rejoice in our foreskin or lack thereof, but he did tell us to rejoice in the Lord. And he's letting us know that the religious mindset that comes along and tries to take the emphasis off of Christ and put it on you or one of your body parts or what you do or what you're not doing, anything you can bring to the table, he's saying that could create some problems. You need to be aware of that. That religious mindset can tear you up, scar you, maim you like a crazy junkyard dog. It's evil. And so Paul says, beware. When he wrote to the Colossians, he said the same sort of thing and asked, why do you subject yourselves to regulations like do not touch, do not handle, do not taste? Those things might appear spiritual and valuable, but here's the reality. Those rules and regulations, do not handle, do not touch, do not taste, they are of no value. My friend, if your hope or my hope or anyone's hope is in what we cut out or cut off or don't do, then our hope is misdirected. Our hope is to be in the Lord and what He has done and who He is. He is the Savior. A lopped off penis tip is not the Savior. I know that sounds crude, but that's a point Paul is making here. In another one of his letters, as Paul dealt with this issue and those coming in telling Gentiles that if they really wanted to be holy, they needed to be circumcised, Paul says it this way, and this is a paraphrase. If they really believe that cutting off a small piece of their penis is going to make them holy, why don't they go for it and become super duper holy by lopping the whole thing off? Cut themselves off. That's what he says. Wow. Then in verse 3, he says, For we are the circumcision, who by the Spirit are serving God, and glorying in Christ Jesus, and in our flesh having no trust. Did you get that? He's saying, we are the people of God. We are the set apart. We are the ones cut out of the religious world and the religious mindset and its way of thinking that diminishes Christ, who by the Spirit are now serving God, not serving religion, not serving a ritual, not serving an organization, not serving a religious group, but instead serving God and glorying in Christ Jesus, not glorying in our group, not glorying in our religious affiliation, not glorying in the efforts of our flesh, not glorying in religious observances, not glorying in what we've added into our lives or cut off or cut out. He says, nope, we have zero trust in our flesh. We have zero trust in anything we bring to the table. We have zero trust in our own abilities. We have zero trust in what we add in or what we take out. We have zero trust in adding in religious feasts and festivals and observances, that sort of thing. We have zero trust in what we cut out, whether it's a foreskin or things we don't touch, handle, or taste. Our trust is in Christ Jesus, Christ the Savior, Christ the Redeemer, Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who died on a cross and rose from the dead, the one who became our sin, that we would become the righteousness of God in Him. My friend, Paul is wanting us to know it's all about Christ, what He has done, who He is, what we have in Him, who we are in Him. He's saying it's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about what we do in our attempts to attain some standing with God based upon our own fleshly effort. No, we aren't called to do that. We aren't called to glory in that. We aren't called to glory in cutting something off with a knife or the guy holding the knife or a piece of penis lying there on the table. No. And so Paul is telling us if anyone comes along and tries to take the focus off of Christ and put it on that sort of religious thing, he says, beware. It might be packaged up really nicely. It might seem so spiritual. They might have a great presentation. They might even pull some scripture out to try and support it. But let me ask you, when they bring out that scripture, are they doing what Paul says by rightly dividing or correctly partitioning, correctly cutting the word of God? Or are they trying to address something specifically given to the Jews under the law of Moses? To you. Listen, my friend. We're called to trust in Christ, not in ourselves. We're not to trust in anything having to do with our flesh. Our hope is not in what we do. Our hope, our security, our rest is in Him. Then Paul, the former Pharisee, a former member of the religious elite, the religious of the religious, he goes on and talks about how he considers all of his religiousness, all of those things he could have had on his resume as a religious leader, all those things a religious world would look at and take great pride in and trust in. Paul says, I consider all of that to be waste, rubbish, dung, poo-poo, compared to simply knowing and resting in Christ. For homework, read verse 4 down through the rest of this chapter, and when we get together next time, we'll take a look at Paul's resume and the things he grew to consider as rubbish compared to the faith of Christ. My name is James Flanders. Thank you so much for listening. I truly appreciate your prayers, encouragement, and support. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed as you trust in Christ Jesus and nothing that you bring to the table.